Hello and welcome to WNHH Radio's Dateline New Haven. I'm your host, Paul Bass, inviting you to look behind the headlines on the stories that make New Haven tick. Mayor Tony Hart makes New Haven tick morning and night. She's here in the WNHH studio for her weekly Mayor Monday checkup on what she and we are up to in the Elm City. Welcome, Mayor Hart.
Thank you very much.
It's great to see you Monday morning.
Good to be here.
If you have a question for the mayor, feel free to pop it up via Facebook Live. Here's what you do. You go to the New Haven Independent Facebook page. You'll see the video right there. And if your name is Bob, you can call us. Thanks to Gateway Community College and Birch & Moses PC for providing financial support for today's program. Well, Mayor Hart, I know what we're up to in the Elm City.
And what's that?
Although I'm not usually part of this we.
What's that?
We're going shopping. It's the holiday season, and I noticed that every holiday season, you make it a point to let people know that you're buying stuff in New Haven, and you take them places. You take the cameras, you take the press conferences, places to buy stuff. Now, that's starting today, is it, with a holiday something or other?
We're going to do a holiday village, and it's going to be over in Temple Plaza, and today is the walkthrough, but it starts officially on December 13th, which is Thursday.
So draw your credit cards, ready, aim, shop.
And the thing that is really, I think, cool about this particular holiday village, it's a lot of small businesses in New Haven that are almost, they're sort of micro businesses because they don't have storefronts. So what we're doing is providing them with a place so that they can sell their goods. Many of these people are crafters, people who make one-of-a-kind items.
So you find something kind of fun and interesting you might not have thought of buying. You look at it. That's old-fashioned shopping.
Old-fashioned shopping.
And Absolutely. It's going to be outside, Mayor?
It's going to be outside, but it's going to be inside these kind of cool-looking sort of temporary buildings. That are...
Did Jim Tercio give you the okay?
I believe that we checked with him.
Okay, I will check with him. That's your building official. He doesn't look anything up that could cause a problem. And then is this going to be nights, afternoons, weekdays, weekends?
I think it's going to be throughout the day into the early evening.
Until 25th of December?
No, I think it goes, let me see. I think it goes from the 13th to the 16th.
Oh, it's only 4 days. Okay.
Yeah.
So the idea is start the holiday shopping by supporting some and getting a look at some of the work of New Haven artists and crafts people.
Right.
At Temple Plaza, starting, you said, 13th and 16th. And that's, if you don't know where that is, that's like across from the Omni, halfway between, in the block, between, on Temple, between the Green and Chapel and Crown.
Right. So just if you know where the Omni is, it's right across the street. And it's next door. You'll be able to order food. This is what I heard, which is really kind of cool, from Prime 16. So that if you get hungry while you're there, they're going to be like heaters as well. You can order food and they'll bring it right to you.
Now, I noticed every year you do more than one event at holiday time, and you like to get people into neighborhood shopping as well as downtown. So was there some kind of night market last weekend in Nice Square, like our first Friday night outdoor?
Yeah, I think there was. You know, unfortunately, I didn't get to go to that one, but it was, you know, we have a wonderful shopping district right actually down the street from here and on Orange Street, all the way down, and then throughout Ninth Square.
Artists and Craftsman Store is a good
place. Absolutely, yes. And, you know, and one-of-a-kind gifts. That's what's really great about so many creative people being here in New Haven, that you can get things that are one-of-a-kind, and, you know, you can't get that at Walmart.
And who wants to go to Walmart?
Well, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people do, evidently.
Donald Trump used to go to Walmart. I remember that with Marla Maples. Yeah. But then you did neighborhood events, Westfield, I believe, Grand Avenue. Are you doing any of those this year?
I know that there have been Westfield events. And
so they have a lot of new storefronts, actually.
Yes, they have a lot of new storefronts.
You can buy vinyl this year. Someone for Christmas, put an old LP in the stocking.
No, I think that would be great. They have great boutiques there. And as a matter of fact, Neville Wisdom has his workshop there.
That's right. So. That's the clothing designed by Neville Wisdom around the world there on Whaley. And then you get Whaley and Blake, the second Blake, as you're going toward Woodbridge. Mm-hmm. And you have that whole group of artists.
That's right, in that one building, So if you really want to get, again, you know, we are the city for one-of-a-kind, interesting things. You've got to go to our neighborhoods.
And why do we care about people buying gifts in New Haven on the holidays?
Well, you know, our vendors and the folks who do retail, they're competing with online services. And they hire people in New Haven. They help stimulate our economy. And so it's really important that we understand that we're a part of that too. So there's a whole synergy that exists. They provide interesting, unique things. We buy them. We build the economy. They can pay for those things. They can pay for their staff. And that really stabilizes our community.
Boom, you got a slow pitch, you hit it. Here on Mayor Monday at WNHH 103.5 FM, live streamed at newhavenpenn.org. And give us a shout if you got a question for Mayor Tony Hart. You got a lot going on last week, a lot coming up this week. One thing I noticed this time of year, you light stuff a lot.
Yes.
It's just like every night you're with some tree or some menorahs turning on, right? We had Gostry Park last night, which that's my favorite one. There are all these neighborhood events. The great ones in City Point every year.
Right.
They have some nurse and midwives this year collecting stuff to help people and brings different neighbors together. Jill Marks, the alder in Beaver Hills, Dixwell area, she's brought those neighbors together to make Gostry Park cleaner. It's a very heavily used park. And Donna Morris planted some tree a few years ago that grew, and then they lit it up last night. A 7-year-old boy, I think it was, turned the switch. They called Brother or whatever by Scott Marks. What was that like?
Oh, it was great. They also gave away jackets and clothes.
Oh, that's right, coat drive.
Yeah. And they had food out there for people as well. You know, it was just and they had music. You know, wherever there's Jill Marks, I always call her the songbird.
Yeah, she has great choir.
She does. And she
gospel.
Her children are great singers. I think even Scott's can sing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And it's a wonderful family in the community, and they bring so much, and they bring other people together as well to help with that park. Now, it started out, it was right across the street from Christian Community Union, I think it was called.
I don't
think
it was Union. I think Christian Coalition, I think.
Well, okay.
I forget. But it was Donald Morris's group.
It's Donald Morris's group.
The pastor, yeah.
And
Social Action. Maybe it's Union.
Okay. Yeah, he started the Gospel Fest.
Yep.
And for many years, it was right out there in Gulf Street Park. And it was because of his leadership that whole stage is now there so that you don't have to bring a stage in. You can use the facility right there. There's electricity that runs to it, and it's great. And he also planted the little tree, and I remember when it was about that.
Yeah.
And it is
Charlie Brown Christmas. Yeah. Well, you were hanging out with some girlfriends yesterday.
Yeah.
Who are the New Haven girlfriends? I never heard of that.
Oh,
as official, capital G, capital F.
Yeah, it's a national organization, and they do work. They provide scholarships, and they do a lot of work in the community.
What was the event yesterday?
It was their annual Christmas gala, I guess. They raised a little bit of money to continue their work.
And Tom asks on Facebook, good morning, Mayor. You campaigned in 2017 in part on combating domestic violence and empowering victims. Can you please give us an update on domestic violence prevention initiatives you're working on, and what do you make of the recent spate of domestic violence accusations in the police department? There was another.
Mm-hmm.
There's another case, yeah.
So we are working. We actually have a family violence center that we are supporting as a city. If you go 2 days a week, they're at 316 Dixwell Avenue at
that city-owned building.
City-owned building there.
At the crossroads there, Shelton
Ave. And the whole idea is that what we want to be able to, it's called a family justice center, I'm sorry.
It's only 2 days a week?
It's only 2 days a week for now, because we're trying to raise more money for it.
That's Julie Johnson, the retired captain, took this on at the police department, and it's one-stop shopping for domestic violence victims so they can get help navigating all different bureaucracies to get help, but also help, I remember you said, for batterers.
Right.
So that they can deal with their problems.
What we will be doing, and I've worked with both the chief of police and the chief of fire, because it's not just police officers that have what I would consider to be this stress. Their jobs are often very stressful. And I would say for those who've been arrested, there are probably many more that have to deal with this problem. We've always said, we make EAP available.
Employee assistance programs.
Right, to all of these folks. But I don't think they really want to go to EAP.
Right.
and we
Cena's kind of wussy. I guess they're weak.
Yeah. And so what we're going to be thinking about, I've contacted a psychologist, Derek Gordon, who said that he will work with us and identify someone that he works with who specializes in domestic violence. And we're putting a group together to think about how do we build into the training that goes on day after day after day, a way to help our forces, whether they be police or fire, the members of those forces know that stress can build up in these jobs and that you've got to take care of yourself so that you don't have these problems, that you find positive and productive ways to deal with that stress.
But boy, you read the details of, you know, the former Dixville cop who got arrested.
Right.
I was reading the warrant. That was incredible. A whole week, he has his wife held hostage.
Yeah.
All these, he bought tons of ammunition and guns and saying he's going to blow up anyone who tries to come near. His kids are there. Mm-hmm. He's yelling and throwing things at her. And then when she gets bruises, berating her about that and more threats, that was just a terrible.
It's unfortunate.
And then he was like, he was working those days allegedly, but he never left the house.
And so, you know, one of the things that we are really good at New Haven Police is teaching our police officers de-escalation when they're in the field. And so it occurs to me that we've got to teach them to have de-escalation woven into their entire life.
Right. And thank you for that question. Bob, welcome to Mayor Monday. You there?
Yes.
All right. It's good. You know what? I feel reassured when I hear Bob's voice, Tony, because I feel like we're connecting. You know, some weeks the board didn't work. There's something reassuring to me hearing Bob's voice every week. He's going to ask that good question.
He's always got one ready.
Mayor, did you run yesterday in the 5K, Christopher Martin's 5K? I heard you.
I was there, but I was an observer.
What was it, a charity run at Christopher Martin's?
Yes,
they get a big crowd every year.
They do. They had over 2,000 people.
Wow.
Who were running in all kinds of interesting. We had all kinds of elves and Santa Clauses and toys that were adults running. Every year for 34 years, they have had this run. And what people do is they bring a toy so that there were over 2,000 toys available as well. And then our police department goes in conjunction, I believe, with Southern Security, go to Southern and they give the toys away to children who
I feel like it's one of those events that sneak up on you, the Christopher Martin's run every year, the big bike thing that they rock the rock, that these are just great events every year,
right.
The refugee walk that people, it's just a given now that thousands of people in New Haven come together to do something good and have fun. You know, I love that about our city.
No, they do. And it really is the Lieutenant Governor-elect was there, Susan Bice.
Susan Bice. Her brother runs.
Her brother runs.
Oh, he runs
that one.
That one
too.
John
yeah.
Bice, he runs a lot of races. Yeah.
Yeah. So they got to see each other. He's really great at it.
I think there's something about the Bicewitz family. They pay a lot of attention to detail.
They do.
They're like all on top of it when they got to do something. You know, like when Susan runs for office, you get the five calls and somebody else gets one call from the other. So, Bob, did you have any other questions for Mayor Tony Harp?
Sure, I sure did.
And Molly, we're going to get to your questions too.
Coming to the city. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. What did you say?
Oh, okay. Maybe you can hear me now. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Another business I see you're going to take part in today is coming to the city.
What business?
Are you thinking about the Holiday Bazaar?
Shop on Temple Street.
Yeah,
we just talked about that. Yeah,
it's going to be an outdoor local artists and crafts people for 4 days for holiday gifts.
Are you going to be there, Bob?
I'm going to try.
It's on Temple Plaza, Bob.
In a few hours.
Across from the Omni. You're welcome. You're invited.
You're invited. Okay, and great. It's going to be warm there, too. We're going to have all kinds of heat and you'll be able to get food as well, so come on down and bring all your friends.
I definitely will. My next question is, and my last question is about, and I don't know if you've talked about it today yet, about the possible closing of Hampden schools and an influx of maybe the kids from Hampden.
That's a great question. Now, the decision has been made. They've closed the Church Street. They're closing the Churchy School in the Spring Glen, I guess not called Glen Shepherd. That final decision was made. And you can read about the New Haven Independent. They're still wondering what to do about Wintergreen, which I think has the biggest impact on New Haven because there are 100 New Haven kids there.
Right.
And we don't know yet whether that's going to close. Thanks for those questions, Bob. It's always great to hear you, buddy.
Oh, I got one more.
Okay. You get one more. Okay.
Right.
But wait, 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 wait. Bob, Tony's got to answer the other question.
Okay. Yeah, you know, what my understanding is ASUS that runs Wintergreen will probably be looking for another site. And so we're hopeful that they will find another site.
Oh, I got an idea.
Where's that?
Why don't we combine two of our schools? Because we're talking about how we're going to need to close schools, which mm-hmm. means school buildings. We allegedly save $2 million every time we do that. And we have a bunch of schools with 200-something students. We've got capacity for more. What if we sold ASUS, one of those schools, and I don't know if they have the capacity to buy it, though, and then they move the school into New Haven and let the Hampton kids commute?
Oh, that's a great idea. We have a number of Hampton kids as we speak, but great idea. We just got to figure out which one. And, you know, everybody loves their school, so.
Well, like West Rock Authors Academy, good school.
Mm-hmm.
200-something people in that big building. It's near the Hampton border. And I say let's do the deal.
Well, I'll say, you know, I'll talk to the superintendent and we'll look into it.
All right, it's nice doing business with you, Mayhart.
All right.
And Bob, thank you so much for your call, buddy. We love when you call every week. And now we have a new regular sending in questions every week, Mayhart.
Who's that?
And I have to watch two feeds at a time because she sends them in, I like this, on our WNHH Facebook, not the independent, Molly Wheeler.
Okay.
Molly says, hello. Hello, Molly. If we hire, we talked about this last week on the show about how one way we're going to be as many as 100, 130 cops down. Mm-hmm. You're talking about whether we can hire retired but still young suburban officers who have experience to become officers. A lot of discussion about that in the week after last week's show.
Mm-hmm.
If Molly says, if we hire suburban retirees for our own police force, will these officers receive anti-bias, anti-racism training, and will they receive the same de-escalation training that other officers receive? Thank you, Molly Wheeler, for your question.
No, I think it's a good question, and it's something certainly that we would worry about. And yes, there would be training. It just wouldn't be as extensive as we give those who haven't had any experience.
When you say not as expensive, you're not talking about
extensive.
But you don't mean as not extensive on what she's talking about. I thought that was not as extensive on the basics of police work. They have
They
get a 3-week instead of a 6-month. Or
right,
whatever.
But we already know that that the de-escalation training that we do is different than almost every department in the state. So we would have to do that.
That one would be different.
Right, and you know, and people would have to learn the resources that exist in our community, and so that there would be training done as well. So,
all right. Thank you, Molly, for that question.
It's a good question.
A lot of stuff going on at the Board of Education. Last week, there was a three-way election for union president. Dave Ciccarella, who's been there 12 years,
mm-hmm.
and kind of guided the union through working with the district on school reform. He won. It was three-way, but it was really close. He went 392 to 372 over Tom Burns. Then a third candidate, Cameo Thorne, got 122 votes. What do you take? What was the message of that election? What's it going to mean for the schools?
Well, you know, I think that for any leader where you're challenged by others and they do relatively well, it means that you might have to adjust your leadership style somewhat to take into consideration the concerns of all of your members.
The message seemed to be get tougher with the school district.
Well, you know, I think that there are some teachers who believe that, remember, we were the first district to actually evaluate teachers and it then became a requirement at the state, but I believe that our evaluation process is one that, again, is sanctioned and is a great process, but there is some feeling, and I don't know whether or not this has ever been totally satisfied, that our administrators don't have as exacting
process. Gotcha.
And so, you know, there's a sense that I've heard from some that there isn't, there's a fairness issue there and an equity issue. Yes. And so.
And we should give some background to this. I'd love to check in again on teacher evaluation because we wrote so much about it at the beginning when it happened because it was mm-hmm. interesting. This was one city where the National Union Federation Teachers felt like we're going to work with a school district to show that we're not just against change. We're
right.
against certain kinds of change. We'll make it work here. And it was a nice kind of converging of forces and interests to make that happen. So under teacher evals, there was a three-part process that involved a teacher in the evaluation and an administrator and sort of a neutral party, I believe. And that it seemed to work, that instead of having lawsuits if someone wasn't doing well and you wanted to get rid of them, most teachers you didn't get rid of, you got some help from them and identified the help. And then in exterior cases, at least the first bunch of years, people left if they got a message that it wasn't working. Have we had an update on that? Is it still working well? Because that's what was unusual about it. Teachers participated.
I think that it is working. And And what I've heard from teachers is they want it to work for administrators
too. Well. I always look at how someone loses, because most people, I don't think you've experienced this in politics, but most people when they run for office they lose some races. You ever lost the race?
Not yet.
Because you tell a lot. Not yet. You got a lot left, huh?
I might run again. You never know.
I really look at how people behave when they act. Like, I thought Bob Stefanowski really was graceful in losing this year. Mm-hmm. He had, for governor, he had basis to challenge some votes, but he really noticed right away by looking clearly at the results. He had hoped he was going to win, he was going to lose, and he had a graceful, didn't say anything bad. I've looked at other people over the years who say bad things about the people, beat him in charge. All this, you know, illicit activity you can't really approve, and wait days to concede. And I was surprised at Tom Burns, because he's been a real positive force that teachers union. He came in second. He almost won. He probably would have won if it weren't three-way. And he said, the people made their choice. My voice will be silent from this day forward. And then Cameo Thorne, who lost by a lot, said, I do not view this as a loss. This will change what it means to be a union member, and this will energize teachers for the good, and she wants to be part of it. It's just so interesting. I guess it's hard to lose. It's a real sting to your ego, but like Cameo Thorne seemed to take it as a way to be more involved and be constructive, you know?
Well, you know, I do think that, and I've always felt this way, that whenever you participate in a race and you're part of the debate, that you still help to frame what goes forward, that it means the ideas that you represent cannot be and won't be ignored.
The first half of his tenure, John DeStefano used to pick an idea from his opponent every time. Like, you know, Long Wharf Mall, you know, things like tax liens and stuff like that. In the board ed tonight, I don't know if it's tonight, there was supposed to be a showdown over contracting. Some board members say, we want to ask more questions about contracts that we give. And it's interesting because certain members want to question certain contracts, certain members want to do others. So there's obviously politics at play, but there was this feeling that it wasn't scrutinized enough. A lot of sole source contracts, they aren't bid, which sometimes there's good reason for that, by the way, and sometimes there's not. So there were a lot of controversy over this vets program about where you line up vets to help kids who are experiencing trauma, and it was withdrawn by Integrated Wellness. They said, you're asking me too many questions. I feel like I'm getting hammered in a way that isn't constructive and ruining my temptation, so I don't want to do work for the Board of Ed anymore. What did you think about that whole thing?
Well, you know, I actually spoke to the director of Integrated Wellness, and I've known her for many years. I know that she's the consummate professional and believes deeply in her work. And in my discussion with her, she felt that the things that she'd worked for as a professional for many years were being damaged by the assertions that were made during Board of Education meetings, and that, you know, she felt like it wasn't really worth it, that there were other things that she does and that her organization does, and that she was going to move forward with those. And because she really feels that the process damaged her. So.
How do you feel about the process? Do you think we're going in a good direction with question contracts more? Do you like the questioning, but not the way it's done? Or do you think it has to be done that way? You have to understand if you're going to do business with, you're going to get questioned like that? Or do you think it's picking on certain people, not others?
Well, you know, I've been in like at least two areas of government. I haven't really seen it done that way. I think that the Board of Education should set standards and policies, and it should make sure that those policies and standards are adhered to, and that that sort of removes it from personal attacks.
This became like focused on one. And then I guess that same organization though is taking over the Family Alliance, and the student outreach workers told us they've all been laid off, and that there's a new boss, that the head of Integrated Wellness came to Family Alliance and told people they were laid off and things like that. What's going on? Family Alliance going out of business, or do you know anything about that?
So what I had in my discussions with the former executive director of Family Alliance and with the director of Integrated Wellness, one of the things that I didn't understand and was never really made clear, Integrated Wellness is a for-profit organization. Yeah. The Vets is a not-for-profit organization. And it does more work than just the Vets Project, which I hadn't understood.
But they're in one roof. It's the same staff.
Pretty much under one roof, but they do different work. Some of it's for profit and some of it's not for profit. I didn't understand that until I had the conversation with them. They've been working with consultants to determine what the relationship will be between the Vets Project and New Haven Family Alliance.
So New Haven Family Alliance has been around a few decades.
Yep.
It runs our signature street outreach program. Often people have been in life, but not exclusively, you know, come out of jail, straighten out. They work with other people, kids who are at risk. Why is that ending? Why were people laid off from that? I'm still confused about the whole thing.
You know, it really isn't ending as I understand it. And it gets to be somewhat hard to explain.
Yeah.
But my understanding is, at least in the interim, the people, at least some of the people who were street outreach workers, will be paid by the Youth Services Department
of the city.
And will continue their work. The Yale New Haven Hospital applied for a grant to expand the street outreach worker program across the state.
Yale New Haven Hospital?
Yale New Haven Hospital, through its emergency department, I believe. And so they've been working with...
I'm trying to get my mind around that one. I mean, it could be great. I just hadn't heard about this. So an emergency room of the hospital...
Well, it's...
They want to work with the street outreach program of the city, or have their own program?
And they want to work with the city. They've worked with... the manager of the program, as I understand it, to develop a 501c3 that would
was that Len Jihad?
Yeah.
Okay.
That would then operate this broader street outreach program that would be in New Haven and in some other cities, as I understand it.
That's interesting.
And so,
is that because the connection with the violence of people coming to the hospital?
Yes, absolutely. They've seen the importance of the work in stemming the violence through the street outreach.
Well, what brought all this about? Was New Haven Family Alliance just falling apart, or what would happen to that?
Well, you know, I think that what was happening is that, you know, whenever you are a not-for-profit organization, you sort of live and die on, one, when you get paid, if you're going to get paid, and whether or not you're going to get your grants from the city, from...
Cash is cash.
The foundations and other kinds of things. And if you don't have money that isn't designated, and you don't get your money for, you know, 90 days, 180 days, and you don't have any other resource, then it gets to be hard to operate. And I think that more and more, and I think that they were seeing those kinds of operations.
So they were going out, so there was another organization that maybe could take over their work, which was Vets, but now we don't know if that's going to happen. What's surprising to me is that all week, people are telling us, I just came out of a meeting, and the people from Integrated Wellness were at the Family Alliance, told so-and-so they were laid off, said we're running the organization now. Do you know what that's all about? That's not your bailiwick as mayor, but I just...
It's not my bailiwick, and I do know that that they have been working together on the Vets Project, assuming the administrative operation of some of New Haven Family Alliance programs that that exists. So in other words, they're not really taking over New Haven Family Alliance, but they are taking over some of the administrative operation.
And we don't know yet about street outreach, because there's also a street outworker position that's funded by the Board of Ed. So
right.
Will the Board of Ed try to make it all under one roof, the New Haven, or is it going to be under partly one group, one another? We don't know the details.
I don't know the details of it. You know, I'm thinking that it's all going to move over to the new 501c3. That's what I believe.
And is Yale New Haven going to fund it? Is it going to be part of their giving back to the community?
I think that they've gotten or are hoping to get a federal grant.
Oh, and then they have hospitals in other cities now, so they're kind of tied up with that.
Yes.
They go to Bridgeport?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's okay.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that actually it's a new day, and it verifies what you said when we started the conversation, which is it was founded by New Haven Family Alliance. It's become a very valuable program,
yeah,
and that they've found other ways to support it.
And we found another way to remind people listening to Mayor Monday, WNHH-FM, 103.5 FM, live stream, newhavenindependent.org, in the city where you need a scorecard sometimes to know who's running what and where.
Yeah.
Brett Hoover writes in. Thank you, Brett. Hello. Hello, Brett. The Connecticut State Data Center. I didn't know this. This is interesting. Projects that in New Haven, the population will be more than 140,000 by 2030. Wow, we're at 130 now, right?
We're at 130, yep.
What will that mean for the public education structure in New Haven? More building? Fewer suburban students? Good question. Brett Hoover, thank you for listening to Mayor Monday and sending in a question.
No, it is a good question. You know, it really depends upon what that population is.
I was going to say that, because a lot of the people coming to the new apartments do not have kids.
Right.
But we have this burgeoning Latino population, which is now the plurality of students in the system.
Right. And so I think that, and I think a lot of it depends upon what the state will do in terms of how it funds education.
And if big question now.
Yeah, and if they're going to continue to fund our magnet schools in the way that they do it now, sort of trying to get students from the suburbs to attend school with students from our urban areas. We're not really sure. It's a new administration, so it's really hard to say, but a lot of the apartments that we see being built now are really for young professionals who
and retirees.
And retirees who don't have children.
Yeah.
And so so right now we don't see that much of an impact, but we are the one district that I think we grew by 1,000 students over the past few years, so that we have more students, but we didn't grow the most. I think we are second to Bridgeport.
But as you mentioned, we're still getting reimbursement from the state based on our old population figures.
Absolutely.
And you're not crazy about that.
I don't like that.
So, and you told that to the governor-elect.
I did tell
and
that.
And we're expecting a little tweak there so that we can get our reimbursement.
We can only hope and pray. You know, like, he can recommend, but, you know, it's the General Assembly that makes the final decision. But I'm hoping we get his recommendation.
Yeah, but we have New Haveners in important positions, let's say, so I guess every year we must do great, right?
Well, one would hope.
Okay.
There are only a couple of, you know, like, what, 187. So there are a lot of people up there you got to talk to.
Speaking of not knowing what the governor-elect's going to do, I had an interesting suggestion made on the radio last week.
What's
Pedro
that?
Soto, who runs the Development Commission,
mm-hmm.
and Anstis Farwell, who's very vocal about development issues from the Urban Design League, they were talking about everyone's favorite, let's argue for 8 million years, about subject, the second garage, parking garage to be built at Union Station.
Mm-hmm.
So for 20 years, we've been telling the state, build a garage, build a garage. And then the governor, for many years, was in kind of a macho fight with our mayor, so that never happened. Then De Molloy said, well, I'm going to make it happen. So he got the plans, and then everybody hated the plans here because it was all about cars and nothing else. No transit-oriented development, no buses, that kind of stuff. Now they tweaked the plans with some bike racks, but then Pedro Soto and Anstis Farwell both argued, let's forget the garage. $60 million garage, we don't need it anymore. And let's use that same money to do some other ideas that your administration has talked about, connecting the train station to Long Wharf, either with an above-air walkway, or, as I hadn't realized this, a proposal for a tunnel instead, to build some other kind of like office building on that property that create taxes and get movement, transit-oriented development, that catchword for offices, restaurants, apartments right by the train line that people would want because of the easy access for commuting. Do you agree with them that the state should scuttle the garage?
Well, you know, I think it's an interesting idea. I'd really like to see what they base that on. And you know, I don't think we need as big a garage as the state.
Why is that? Do we not have as many cars anymore?
Well, you know what? I honestly think that they're building the garage for their workers. I've always thought that. And as they expand their operation right there behind the rail station, they have an even greater need for the cars that the people who work there bring. I do think that, look, every time I go to the parking lot there to park there to go somewhere, it's half the time it's filled.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, of course we need more parking spaces. But what they may be referring to is this, a lot of people believe that cars will be less used in the next decade
right,
or
much
two.
More Uber, self-driving, all that kind
right,
of stuff.
Right, and bicycles. And
they have added bicycles.
And so if that's the case, and people are not going to be using as many cars, and we shouldn't be building a garage for the number of cars that people use today, but building a garage, if we build it at all, for what we expect they'll be using in the future.
So is your position you want to see more...
And
that you're open to the idea at the least of us less parking and more other things?
Yeah, I think we always wanted more other things there. And we wanted to see if we could actually have a transportation center there so that
That means with the bus connections.
Right.
They thought it wouldn't work because the bus is turning on Union Avenue. It caused too much traffic.
That's what they thought. But, you know, again, if they were, and who knows, you know, like Department of Transportation, you never know what data they were using and whether they were projecting out. So that we spend all of this money for a problem that exists today when it won't exist in 20 or 30 years. So, but here, my political experience with all of this has been that the Department of Transportation is bullish on this idea, and that they are going to move forward with it no matter what we do. I'm really surprised that in this transition period that they're really pushing to try to get this done.
Oh, you mean the Malloy administration?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is interesting.
But so, and you know, interesting also is that for 20 years we were pushing them because we were looking at the old data. Is it accurate to say your position is you're open to mind of at least less parking? You also want to hear this idea of maybe not having it at all, but you also recognize that right now it's hard to park there. You definitely want to see buses there, and you're in favor. You've always wanted other kinds of stuff for transit-oriented development.
Absolutely, and
by hearing you're right.
And the idea, and I think we're tearing down Church Street South. The idea of having some sort of commercial building in the area is not a bad idea. And whether or not it should be there or it should be on the Church Street South site is something that we really need to continue to talk about.
All right, Aaron Good has a question. This is always the brain teaser part of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Aaron asks us the tough ones because he really knows what he's talking about. He's always
you're
finding
good
something.
At answering them, though, Paul.
I never can answer an Aaron Good question. I always have to call Aaron Good for the answer.
Okay.
Sort of like, you know, secret Jeopardy. Okay, Aaron Good. Mayor Harp. Oh, here you go, as usual. In March 27, the city agreed to pay Conover Corporation and or its subsidiaries $25,000 for, quote, legal and engineering costs pursuant to an easement and air rights agreement that would allow the Farmington Canal Phase 4 project to go forward. Okay, so far so good.
So far so good.
That's we had to get that last part of the Farmington Canal Trail done. Karen Gilbert, before she left, completed negotiations with the people who controlled the last bit of property so we can go around the FBI building.
Mm-hmm.
That involved the back of Audubon Streets, Audubon Square, right, where you had a co-op or whatever, condo, who mm-hmm. different offices, and Conover, could we go through their parking garage. However, more than 18 months later, the company has still not signed the agreement and continues to endanger the viability of this project. Could the mayor explain how, despite paying the company, we still do not have a signed agreement required for this project that is so critical to the bicycle pedestrian network of the entire region? That's question one. Question two is easier.
Question one.
So tell me about that. And we do always check.
Well,
we check in periodically at this, thanks to Aaron's excellent urging.
Well, I will check into it. I thought that it'd move forward. Obviously, it hasn't. And by next Monday, I'll know why.
There was this breakthrough like a month ago or 2 months ago. It was a little track. Right before Karen Gilbert left as city plan director, they got the signed agreement.
And evidently,
I guess not from Conover yet.
Right. So I'll check with both our corp council folks. And with our folks in economic development.
Aaron, thank you for that question. This one's easier. Aaron has a second question. Also, does the mayor support the proposed expansion of the Murphy Road recycling transfer section in the environmentally overburdened Annex neighborhood? That's where I think it's the highest asthma in the state, if I'm not correct.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's because, you know, the highways interact there and all the trucks come off.
Mm-hmm.
A project which is currently opposed by 7 alders, including all alders from the east side. And last week, Martin Looney, the state senate president, told us he opposed it too. So it's actually not on Murphy Road. It's a recycling plant down by right under I-95-91 when you get right over the bridge there, the small bridge on Route 1. And they want to expand it so that we could take, it's a recycling plant now. They want to take trash from suburban communities within a 20-mile radius and process that.
Well, you know, I think that one of the things I want to be able to do is to take a look at it. Now, I had heard that they wanted to take a different kind of trash. So let me find out a little bit more about it.
Putrescible. I learned a new word. Every time Alan Pell writes, we always put putrescible in a lead or a headline. I think that just means like regular trash. That isn't recycling.
It isn't recycling. Okay, well, let me find out a little bit more about that.
So thank you for your questions, Aaron. The mayor's answers, as you're going to find out more about both of them. And let's remember next week, Aaron, if we forget, We're counting on you next week to ask the question again.
I'm sure
here
you will.
On Mayor Monday, 103.5 FM live streamed at newhaven.org. Great questions today. Love our crew. Tom Talbot, speaking of love our crew, he's retiring as deputy zoning director. He's a character. And he's the guy who knows more about zoning than just about anybody. And for the last 11 years, he's been like, everyone who walks in, they want to build something, they want to find out about something getting built, they want to make a vote on whether you can zone something. He's the guy who, he calls no attention to himself, one of those civil servant types who really knows zoning. Before that, he spent 13 years or something doing this in Wallingford. He's retiring. He's in his 60s, but he's moving on to another chapter. He's not sure what yet. Any thoughts on his...
Well, I know that he's done a great job on behalf of the city and that we are grateful that he spent time here with us. And, you know, all I can do is wish him well. I think that we will miss him. And, you know, I read in your article that he's getting ready to do something else new to keep things going, to keep refreshed. And, you know, I just, I think that's great. I think it's a great attitude. And I'm just grateful that he's done the work here. And I'm going to be hoping that Mike Piscatelli and the leadership of our economic development and as well as our city plan can find someone half as good to replace him.
It's just an interesting comment to Tom Breen. He said, quote, my view of this type of work is that it's important not to stay in one place too long. But through experiences in different settings, you acquire perspective, and a depth of professional knowledge that is much more difficult to come by and staying in the same place for too long. So what he's saying is that you don't leave in 2 minutes, right? He was there 11 years, 13 years in the other. So you get to know a place, but you also learn different stuff from different places and you can get stale, which is kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
He didn't get stale here, but maybe he was feeling, let's stay fresh.
Maybe, and you know, he just wanted to renew. I certainly understand that. It's amazing. It's amazing that he has that perspective because, you know, we love him. So, you know, I'm glad that...
There's wisdom with age.
Yeah.
You had a preview of how you're going to be dealing with winter storms this year.
Right.
You said there's no overstating the importance of communications and parking. Oh, boy, what a mess every year during snow emergencies. Some things you're doing new is you're urging residents to sign up for notification at the website.
Right.
And you're making a plan for off-street parking at a neighbor's house or one of the new schools or in garages, which that's for the same. So what's different this year?
Well, you know, we never knew from one storm to the next whether or not the schools would allow neighborhood parking.
I've been at those meetings. Yes.
And so now I think that there are 12 to 14 schools that you know that there will be a place for you to park.
Oh, that's interesting because I remember there was one school official in particular, a hard-working school official, who's now leaving the district.
Mm-hmm.
Does that have anything to do with that? Because he was the one who always said no.
No, I think that they worked this out. It was worked out during the summer. So he actually helped us find a way to yes.
And his concern always was make sure school can open the next day after it's been closed and the spots are open for the teachers.
And so what you will see in those parking lots, there will be signs that tell you where you can park. And they'll mark the area. So
a big change is you definitely can park. If you don't have a driveway to park your car in a snowstorm, when the city says time to get ready for a biggie, we got to clear your street so people don't die when animals can't get through or just so you can get through.
Right.
In non-fatal reasons. Go to the school. There can be a whole bunch of schools. You can always go there.
You can always go there. And then, of course, downtown, we'll have the garages that we normally have available. And the other thing that people pointed out was that on the text, if you have signed up and you get the text, oftentimes they were long and they were all written in English. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to use symbols so that people would know where you can and cannot park.
Excellent. Okay. Connecticut Veterans Hall of Fame. We missed this one. Frank Alvarado was inducted to the Connecticut Hall of Fame. These guys just done great stuff in New Haven for a long career, often for veterans or for neighborhoods, Latino business community. So what was that about? You were there when he was inducted on Friday?
I was.
You go to a lot of places.
It was at the Legislative Office Building.
In Hartford.
Yep, in the atrium there. And it was a beautiful ceremony. I believe there were... 10 to 11 people who were inducted into the Hall of Fame. And Frank Alvarado was inducted for the work that he's done, community work that he's done with the community races. He's every single one of those races that John Pisowitz is involved in, so is Frank Alvarado.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's a volunteer. He's never really been... in charge. I, you know, all of the race people were there. basically to support him, as well as people from throughout the state in the Hispanic community. But he also is the person that does all of the veterans work that we do in the city, and he really helps to make sure that our memorials are kept up, that the programming that should occur to really thank our veterans for their service and the work that they've done happens. I mean, he works really, really hard. He also does work on Grand Avenue, special services.
He's been one of the long-distance people making Grand Avenue one of the premier thoroughfares in the city.
He really has.
Rolls his sleeves up.
He really does. He works really hard. And so I can honestly say that he deserved that award and probably more.
Well, good. Congratulations, well earned, for Frank Alvarado. 80th anniversary of the Housing Authority, Elm City Communities. Do we have to say the rest of our lives Housing Authority of New Haven / Elm City Community, because some branding firm said don't sound like Housing Authority?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to say that. Or at least...
What if we rebel?
Unless people remember that Elm City Communities is the Housing Authority of New Haven, you have to say it.
Well, what's the plan for the 80th anniversary?
Well, they had an 80th anniversary to really...
Oh, last Thursday.
Last Thursday.
I wish we'd known about that.
Yeah, and so it was a wonderful dinner celebrating the Housing Authority. They've done a phenomenal job.
It is in good shape. It's been good shape for a bunch of years.
It's in really good shape, and there was a time when it wasn't.
Yes,
but,
that's a little embarrassing.
Karen DeBose-Walton has done an excellent job in her team of taking it out of financial doldrums, getting it on secure ground, and developing... property that is really recognized across the country as a wonderful. I wanted to mention one thing before we go. The Workforce Alliance is having a registration deadline on something they call Skill Up, and the deadline is Friday. And if you take that course,
Skill Up,
you can get the kind of skills that you need to get the manufacturing jobs that are available. They think they're about 13,000 of those jobs. So go to Workforce Alliance if you're looking for a job or you want to upgrade, and you'll get to go to this boot camp so that you'll be prepared to work in advanced manufacturing.
Right. Thank you. Brett Hoover thanks us for talking about his question. He has updated population projections for 2030. Bridgeport, 154,000. New Haven, 142. Stanford, 129. Hartford, 128. Waterbury, 117. Mayhart, thanks for starting Monday with us. Best way to start the week.
All right, great. It's good seeing you, Paul. Have a wonderful week.
You too. Have fun at the Winter Shopping Artisan Temple Plaza. Thanks, everyone, for your great questions today. Really good week on questions. We're going to take, and thanks to Gateway Community College and Bertram Moses PC for providing some financial support for today's program. We're going to take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free from the group CD, A Plea for Peace. Now we know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight and hope we don't get kicked off. Book your flight with us all day and all night long here at WNHH New Haven's home for community radio.